What a privilege after 4 years not traveling at all from Poland to be able to travel to the States and be also here in Toronto together with my wife Ursula and my uncle George Bajinski, who lives here in Toronto. And this is our first also possibility to meet as a family. So we decided being here in the States, we kind of stop for Toronto also for a few days to share and see how uncle, the senior of our family, Polish family, how is he doing here. And thank you for also for invitation to be with you. I have heard many good things about Pastor Dombrowski and about the church, but I think I never had the chance to be in your congregation, although I was some kind of Polish congregation here. And I have to say this, please remember that maybe you also have something. English is definitely not my first language, not even second. Yes, the Russian for many of us. In Poland, you know, Russian is a second learning, and English is. So sometimes my word processor in the mornings doesn't work as fast as I would like. Maybe I need some upgrade of my word processor. But please, let's try to understand more, maybe heart to heart. So even if the word will be not perfectly English, please, you know, try to understand the main kind of meaning of this. And if I may just start, I know that when we meet somebody, we usually want to know who is the person. So let me just a few words of kind of my personal story. I am third generation in evangelical faith. That means my grandma, my grandfather was a pastor. And at the age of 12, happened in my life something which since this time, and I tell you, this was over half a century ago, but this one particular event had such an impact in my life that it became the strongest force or drive in my life until today. It is. It has been and it is something which makes me going and constitutes who I am, how I think, how I talk. You wonder what happened. There was a camp, youth camp. I was 12. I shouldn't be at this camp because this was for 16 years old and up. But George, this was his first camp after he came, after theological studies here in the States, came back to Poland, and this was the first of this kind camp with a big tent. And I remember there was calling for those who need Christ to receive. But you know, I was brought up in the home. My father died when I was just almost 7 years old. So I was brought up in my mother, but also with my grandparents. And this was a home where God was like a part of our family, unseen part of the family. Sometimes my older brother and me, sometimes mama or babcia or, you know, grandpa, they would say, "Boys, God sees everything." So this was a way to make some order in our behaving. Being brought up in, I always thought that God is my grandfather because he's the father of my parents or my grandparents. But this particular night, I realized that it's God doesn't have a grandchildren, has children only. And those are his children who believe in Christ Jesus, that he's a Savior and he's the Lord. And this was the time when everything started to be different in my life. Very slowly, at the age of 17, I had the second reflection of my life. What do I do with this saved life? Now, when I'm a Christian, what do I do with this? I remember I was very much into the sports, especially the soccer was my number one thing. And there was one Sunday, I knew I should be in the church with the youth group, but I was at the Wisła Płock field, and I played soccer with the team. I just felt like I should not be there. This is not my place on this time. So remember, pray, God, please, you take a passion, I will take care of the rest. And this was my last game. You know, you cannot play 4 or 5 hours a day soccer and then still have a strength to read anything or think. You're just tired. So I'm not having anything against sports, but at that time, I met this lady who sits here. We were students in the school. She came for a few minutes to my school. And one look, 5 years later, we became the marriage. We have 2 children. Both of our children are in the ministry. Our son is a global outreach pastor in the big church in California. Our daughter, she found in America here her husband, and she decided that he will come with her. So they live with us in Warsaw. We have 4 granddaughters, grandchildren there, and 1 grandson in California. And we minister as a family also to God. And I also can say this, and in this kind of introduction, I was blessed by God with leading a church, which was my home church. I was brought up there. I was 26 when I finished my theological study in Warsaw, and the church said, okay, we want you to be our senior pastor, senior when you are 26. Sounds funny. I remember one older lady, she said, ah, pastor, I remember you in the shorts, you were sitting on my laps, you know. I say, yeah, but this was a couple years ago. Now, this is my function to lead this church. And God has blessed us. You know, we grew and to about 200 people. But we couldn't get over this 200 for years. New people were converted, were baptized. But 200, 220, 180 for a couple of years. I was so frustrated that we cannot grow. So I asked for sabbatical. I asked for 1 year of sabbatical after 13 years of ministry and spent some time in a study here in the States in one Christian university, studied the church growth and leadership, church leadership. We came back home, and 2 years later, our church doubled in attendance, 400, 600, and many services. Morning services, complicated thing, but what a joy I was privileged to have, be a part of a church which grows, many people, new people. So this is the way most of my life went through, and now together with my wife, as a kind of coming closer to the finals of our lives, ministry, the discipleship became one of the most dear things what we do. I lead the men's discipleship groups. Ursula leads the women discipleship group. Every week we meet with these people and try to talk how to have the truth of living God, the Bible truth, how to have this in our lives, that this will be incarnated in us, not only known, but something which would be incarnated in us. So with some of this, a little bit of story of life, I would like to share with you a simple, really simple thought. Sometimes I think, the more I know Jesus Christ, I wonder, why do we start study 5 years of theology? And sometimes we study Greek to understand New Testament, Hebrew to understand Old Testament, Latin, I don't know why, but they request, so we study. We study all this history, but when Jesus was with the people, there are very few references to that Jesus was preaching. Jesus was just talking. And if he wanted to communicate some very important truth, he would use a simple metaphor. Everybody understood the metaphor. Simple picture. He just kind of world picture, draw. And people went home, and for the rest of the day, they could not think of anything but what he just said and they heard. I wonder, what would Jesus say to us today in Toronto, Canada? Maybe tomorrow is 31st? Or, yes, tomorrow is. So we will celebrate the holiday of Reformation. 31st October Reformation. For Protestants, it's a big thing. I like to think of this. Maybe Jesus would allude to what happened. But definitely, I am sure he would just share with us something which would stay with us and help us think of. So let me just take you just for a few minutes to the 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. I will read just a few verses, but I encourage you, if you want, please, when you are back home, read one more time, especially the verses which we will read now. It's a 15th chapter, and I read 45th verse and next. Thus is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last, Adam, became a giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was a man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. And as is a man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have bore the image of men of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I am sure that all of us who read the whole New Testament, at least once you read this. And what do we read here? Paul, the apostle, he says, he reminds the church, or he shows to the church that there are two kinds of people on the planet of Earth. What kind? There is a person, a man, as we read here, a man, I would call it like a computer people call a new program. If the program is completely new, they say this is a program so-and-so 1.0. First man, made of clay, of dust. In Polish language, it's nice wordplay there. Those of you who understand Polish, you will understand this. Jaki był ziemski, tacy są ziemscy. The word is taken from the dust. We are a dust, really. So Paul writes about two kinds of people. A person 1.0. And then he says, the first man was from earth, the second man was from heaven. As was man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those of heaven. The second person is a man 2.0. 2.0, człowiek. In the computer, in the applications, it's often used. And it helped me very much. It is almost the same thing, but man 2.0 is something completely different. It's not from this earth. It's from above. looks like a first one, talks similar, looks like has this from heaven, like when he started his ministry, that he has about 30-some years. But it's completely different story. It's a completely different person. Why do I remind this message to us? First of all, because I would like for us to understand that there are only two kinds of people on the planet of Earth. 1-0 and 2-0. And all of us, we are either one category person or other. The man 2-0 has to be, how we say, born again. Has to be born twice. First, as a person of the dust, and then as a person of spirit. No matter how religious we become, it doesn't make us man 2-0. We are just a person 1-0, maybe 1-1. If we are more religious, it would be 1-5, but it's never 2-0. I bet even with my broken English, you get the idea. There are no kind of middle. There's one or the other, two other. And Jesus is the second person who comes. And he came for all of those who are just the natural people. Very sinful, or not as bad, but they all need to become person 2-0 in order to be accepted back by God. And the same Apostle Paul, when he wrote the next letters, and this was like a big kind of brochures sent to different churches, he writes to Ephesians, and he says in the 4th chapter, 20th verse, he says, "But you have not learned Christ this way." You know, to be a Christian, in Polish language, unfortunately, Christian, in Polish, chrześcijanin, looks like comes from the word chrzest, means baptized person. It's not. Christian should be baptized, but it's not equal. And so when we look at this, Paul says, hey, the most important thing for Christians is to learn sermons of Christ or Old Testament. No, is to learn Christ. Christ said, it's enough for the disciple to be like a master. And our greatest job as a Christian is to learn Christ. To understand as he understands. To think as he thinks. To speak the way he speaks. To have attitudes the same he had. Now, when we observe Christ in the Gospels, we see him in so many different situations. And we learn about him. And the Holy Spirit is reminding us this thing so we can be followers of Christ. Master and disciples. We learn him. Great, great job to do. Not easy. When we get salvation, it's kind of easy. We believe, we cry to God, and when we cry with faith, we are saved. It's like somebody would be in the water, and would drown in the water. And we come, grab his hand, pull him out of water, saved. But it's still the same person. If this was a national hooligan, he's still inside national hooligan, except saved. And God thought, no, it's not enough. I want this new generation of people to be followers of a man 2.0. How they can come man 2.0? By faith, when they confess faith in Christ, they are newborn babies, spiritual babies. And their job is now to become more and more as a master is. Simple lesson, and I would like to leave this with you with this question. First of all, are you man 1.0, means natural? Or are you like a heavenly 2.0, completely new person? We all, this was a global thing, so we all know. We all are having behind us, I hope forever, pandemic. Remember what's COVID-19? Destroyed many things, many lives, economy and so. And I would like to share with you at the end one reflection, one thing which COVID-19 has taught me in the context of the gospel. I look at, in Poland, in our churches, I look at the people and I saw that it polarized us. Some did not believe completely in the virus of COVID, Corona, however they call it, and others who believe. So, two attitudes. Those who believe in this, say, oh, is there a medicine for this? Not really, maybe some. Those who don't believe, they say, we don't need any medicine. And you know, I came to the conclusion that I really don't care how people think about COVID-19 pandemic. I just don't care. If somebody believes and wears mask and has a vaccination or whatever, I don't care, it's not as important. But I realize that there is something which is much more important as a pandemic. It's a pandemic where 100% of people are infected. Not some, but 100%. And those 100% who are infected eventually will die because this virus is deadly. It kills people. And I'll let you discover what kind of virus I have in mind. 100% of population of the earth is infected. What's a virus? Sin. We all are. And eventually, we can live many years on earth, but eventually death is a consequence of this terrible virus, which is called sin. And God from heaven looks and says, wow, they won't make it without, if I don't help them. They won't make it. The virus will kill them, and that's it. Even forever. So God said, okay, I have to send them some kind of medicine. Life-saving medicine. And this is sent. And I will let you find out what kind of medicine was given to humanity so we can be saved from the pandemic of sin. Somebody has idea? Okay, sure. It's such simple. Jesus given medicine, life-saving medicine. Those who believe in the medicine take it and they have life and life eternal. Those who don't believe, they don't take anything. They say, I don't care. I don't care. And all our cemeteries are just a memory of all those who were touched by the virus of sin and never took the medicine, which is Jesus. So my encouragement to all of you here is, after, let's say, forget COVID, but don't forget, please, pandemic of sin. Our little ones who are born into our families from the very beginning, they are already infected with the sin inside. And then they become adult sinners like we all adults are. And, you know, when I thought during the pandemic, I almost wanted to write some kind of a small booklet about this. But then I thought, but God looks down and he says, you know, this man 10 infected death, I send Jesus Christ, he is redeemed, he is saved, but I want something more. And God said, I will send you vaccination. Okay, some of you may not believe in vaccination when it comes to COVID. It's okay, I don't care. But when it comes to a sin, we better believe in vaccination. And I believe the heaven gave us this wonderful vaccination, which is the word of Jesus and the spirit of Jesus. And we need this daily. It's not like once forever. Yes, I once read the Bible. No. How it is? Every day. Day by day. We need the word of God, which is pokarma, which is the bread of life, and the Spirit of Christ, which is this completely new power within us. Why do we have this? Because God wants us to be resistant to the power of sin, of pandemic of sin, of virus of sin, and yours and my life. And so today I just take this occasion to remind you, to remind to all of us how thankful we should be that God looked and said, I need to help them, and I send them a medicine which saved their life. We receive it, we have it. Whoever has a son has eternal life. Whoever doesn't care about the medicine perishes, not because there is no salvation, but because you just don't take advantage of this salvation. And then this vaccination. I know how it divided people in our churches, in our society over in Poland. Wow, it was terrible to listen even. So finally I said, I don't care how you believe about COVID, but please believe about sin, the virus of sin. And God is ready to give you Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of Christ. And they together work in us in such a way that we are more and more like Christ, resistant to the sin we live in. And today, if there is, as we listen to this, all of us are either men 10 or 20. Like from the dust only, or like from the dust and from heaven too. And through this, we glorify Christ. And as Apostle writes, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. we receive back the glory which was destroyed by sin, so we can live for Christ Jesus. Let us bow our heads and just pray. Father God, we just come to you and we thank you. And we thank you that you are with your plans. And these plans are wonderful for whole humanity. That you want to save everyone on this planet. Father, we confess that we all are touched by the virus of sin. And we ask that we also by faith would become your new creatures. That we would be those who belong to Jesus Christ as our master and who follow him. Father, we just thank you for this medicine which saves our lives. And we thank you for the vaccination which your Holy Spirit and your word is such a strong buster to our lives so we can be resistant, more resistant to sinful nature. Father, we just thank you and we ask that we would not only participate in this, but that we would also take this message to the world we live around us, to our neighbors, to our families. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the word. Now my voice is dying a little bit. It's a blessing that I didn't have to preach today. It would have been a big problem. So I'm just going to pray blessing over the service. Now, we do have some danishes downstairs as well as coffee. Coffee is free. So I will encourage everyone to come and we can have a fellowship shortly after the service. And then for 1 p.m. at Peter's house, we're going to have a cool barbecue today. And there will be lots of meat. So encourage everyone to come there. I'm going to pray. Our Heavenly Father God, thank you for the medicine that you've given us. Thank you for the vaccination of your spirit. God, pray that you allow us to walk closer to you, to become more like you, God, and help us with this. Also, God, I pray for anyone here who hasn't yet made the decision to receive you as your Lord, as their Lord and Savior. I pray that you touch their life. And even today, they can reach, say, help me, God. I need your help. I need to become person 2.0. God, I pray for this for in the life of each person here. And also, God, I pray for your blessing on the service in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.